Welcome to the Beyond Hampden Park podcast. Please be warned there may be bad language and use of swear words. If this offends you, get to.
Weaving everywhere, man. Weaving everywhere, man. Seen every foot square, man. This is the Glasgow Fair, man. Weaving for Ryanair, man. Weaving everywhere. Weaving a Glasgow.
Hello and welcome back to the latest edition of the Beyond Hampden Park podcast. We're deep in the middle of our Euro 2020 specials, charting Scotland's progress at their first major tournament in 23 years. We're all attending each game, and today we're on location in London as we gear up for the game at Wembley. Joining me ever, as ever, is the faithful companions, John McClay. Try again.
Hey, I'm here, I'm wet, and I'm ready to go.
Yes, and Colin Brooke.
Hello, let's go.
Yes, Brooke, you said a few beers. Right, let's wire in about this and get ourselves to the pub. Here's what we have to say. Well, a few things have happened in the tournament since we last spoke. The group of death kicked off and the records tumbled for Cristiano Ronaldo once again after his quick-fire double saw off plucky Hungary in Budapest. France looked impressive in a 1-0 win over Germany. Whoever wins this tournament are going to have to stop Les Bleus, that's for sure. Finland came undone and fell to Russia 1-0 to leave that group wide open. And Wales took a giant leap towards definite qualification for the last 16 despite Gareth Bale ballooning a penalty over the bar. A 2-0 win over there. In Turkey. One team with a real opportunity to go deep in this tournament are Italy. Locatelli firing them to glory against the Swiss, and the Italians are now 10 wins on the trot without conceding a goal. Well, we've been travelling down to London. I believe Ukraine saw away North Macedonia's challenge, and Kevin De Bruyne came off the bench to produce a masterclass for Belgium, seeing away the hapless Danes. Right, boys, on to the important stuff. Scotland. Goosebumps with the wee montage there. That was some winning goals, or at least equalising goals against the old enemy.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. Just gets you right fired up for tomorrow. Not that we need any more some motivation, but wouldn't it just be wonderful if we could do, you know, repeat that and get a couple of goals at Wembley tomorrow? Just fantastic
quality. John, looking forward to it.
I think it just reminds us that regardless of form and how kind of better England should be than us, we've always got a chance against them. So I'm not confident, I wouldn't say, but I don't know. I think we've got a chance of getting something.
Spirits raised a wee bit, Brookie, before this game, and any more confident? We were pretty down after the Czech game when we recorded, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. I mean, for me, I'm absolutely buzzing, and
that's because you're about six beers deep.
If only it was six. The team will be the same. I mean, there maybe have been a wee period a day or so where they were, you know, struggling to come to terms with how the first game went. But I mean, this game takes care of itself. There's absolutely no doubt in it that everybody be, no matter what's at stake, you play your biggest rivals, you play England. I mean, that's it. That's all the motivation you need, and I think everybody will be up for it. And the fans, for what we've seen today, certainly are.
Definitely. I was seeing that on the way down. John, how will Steve Clarke been lifting that group of players over the last couple of days, you think? Because morale must have been on the floor there too.
I think the way Steve Clarke is, I think he'll have prepared them almost before the game for let's be calm, it's one game, there's still two games to go. I don't think he'll be panicking in the dressing room. I don't think he'll be making radical changes to the way he sets his team up to play against England. Yeah. So I think he'll be trying to keep it low-key and just focusing on this game.
Aye. Brookie, Clark's got a big job in his hands. He's still the man for you, despite maybe we gave him his team selection a slagging, but I think he'll get it right for tomorrow.
Absolutely, no doubt. I am absolutely 100% in the Stevie Clarke fan club. Nothing's changed for me. I think despite the poor first half, we were still, you know, really good in the second half, and I really fancy us to get something tomorrow, if I'm being honest. I really do, yeah.
Good to hear optimism, but I guess certain players over this course of this week since the game have taken stick for a lot of quarters. People like Stephen O'Donnell, they'll see the press. Clark's came out and defended his performance. Is that really what to see? It wasn't a great performance. Do we want him praising boys that hadn't performed well, or is that just to keep him boosted, because Robertson came out and almost tactfully said he was shite, really, didn't he? And I read about why.
I think certainly Clark's not going to come out and slag off a player after one game in a major tournament. He's got to back his squad. Nah. I think the proof will be in the selection the morning. If he's still in the team, then
Stevie's playing the morning. Stevie's the one who's playing.
You think so?
Yeah. After what Clark said, he's got to.
He probably will. He's the most defensive looking player, so he's probably bound to start, but I wouldn't mind a change.
It's good that he's back in the team, though. I mean, there's no way he's not. That's what you want for your manager.
Get you. But Robertson's comments were interesting, because he said basically that he's a good player, but he wished he had more confidence in his own ability, which is basically like saying he's mince.
like he's touches shite.
Dear Stephen O'Donnell,
I've noticed how quick we're speaking here, boys. That's getting into deal with how
we've got a pub booked. Sorry, folks, we've got a pub booked. We're already late for it. There's people holding our seats, so this could be the quickest pod on record. But folk will probably enjoy it. Having gotten home and watched the Czech game back, have you seen anything for that gives us hope of getting some of Wembley?
Yeah, I have. I mean, that second half, got to focus on that. We were the dominant team in the second half. We created numerous chances, didn't get the rubber of the green. You've got to focus on that. The manager and the coaching staff will be speaking about that with the boys, and I'm almost certain that they'll all go into it buzzing. The coaching staff will have them up for it.
John?
Aye, forgot your question. He's not listening.
He's not so confident. Doesn't that sound as confident, though?
You think, having watched some of the highlights in that back, is there?
Watched some of the game. I couldn't have put myself through watching the full 90 minutes, but I did watch bits and bobs of it. And we had chances, we had opportunities, and you've just got to hope that a wee bit of luck, Fazer White, and
definitely.
Hopefully Adams starting up front. and he'll provide a wee bit more quality than Fit.
Speaking to Derek Riordan in the pub this afternoon. And,
Is he playing?
Well, he actually put himself forward. He said he fancied himself for that chance at back post with Dykes. But same as us, he said, you've got to have Lee Griffiths a day. He says he would have put that one.
Definitely. I think he should be in the squad. But hey, we've been over that. He's nay. We need to get behind the people that are.
You are right.
I think, having watched the game back, I wasn't that much in that Czech game. I think I maybe said it at the time, but you know, a goal for us when we were pushing changes that game completely. We could easily be sitting here we 3 points. We didn't play that badly. First half wasn't that great, but second half, for spells, we were okay. I think we can cause them a wee bit of problems. And I did read, it's maybe a wee bonus, is that Maguire might be fit.
I think a bigger bonus that I read was that it looks like Tierney's going to be fit. So.
That's a fucking massive bonus.
Definitely. I'd rather have my choice. I'd rather have Tierney in your team than Maguire in theirs.
I actually think we started both halves pretty well. I thought in the first half, first 10 minutes, I thought we were quite bright and we looked okay, but then just didn't score when we needed to score. And that was the difference.
And that's the difference of having a boy like Schick in your team. Or so. You've seen with Wales having Ramsey and Bale in their team. It's just that difference of having maybe in that sort of top level player.
John, how should we approach this tactically at Wembley? When you go for it, you think we'd play for a draw?
I think a temptation for the fans would be to say, right, get a Donnelly, play Forrest or
get
Fraser. Let's go attacking two strikers, Gilmore in. I think we could get a doing if we set up like that. I think we just need to be mindful of far we are and far we're at as a team, and we've gotten to far we're at based on a good solid defensive shape, and I can't see us moving for that very much at all. I think there'll be slight personnel changes. Tierney coming in will give us more attacking threat, hopefully. And Adams starting up front, I think, will give us a bit more quality. So I can't see too much more changes than that.
Adams has got to start, Brooke,
He's got to start. He changed the game when he came on, and just the ball was sticking up the top end of the park. It was a big difference for us. He's just got that quality. He's like a step above everybody else in the sort of attacking end of the park. But, I mean, we cannot go into this game tomorrow and just go, that's it, all-out attack. It's going to backfire.
Because, even a narrow defeat, again, it could come down to goal difference. A narrow defeat leaves us with a chance in the final game if we can beat Croatia. Because if you can get 3 points on the board, it's looking like there's a couple of groups that third place might finish with one or two. Yeah. So, massive chance of getting through even with one win. So, but that chance lessens the mere goals we lose.
3 or 4 nil or more and absolutely kills us. And there is an argument to be said that by half-time, we could be absolutely blown away. It just depends how it goes. But it's near the Stevie Clark way, and I don't think we're expecting anything different from what we're used to. So he'll be cagey. He'll set up to be sort of hard to beat, hard defendable. It suits us. We're good on the counter. We've proved that over quite a few games under Clark. Yep. And I'm quite happy for us to go that way tomorrow, to be honest.
It was good to hear John McGinn's comments earlier, John. Not sure if you heard it, but... he was having a pop back at the English media and Raheem Sterling, who said it was like a cup final for Scotland. He says, maybe for the fans, but nay for them. And if you look at the record, England have only got about 6 or 7 mere wins in the head-to-head record than Scotland do. 24 draws, obviously. I think it was 48-41 wins, something like that. Mm-hmm. So their eye was tight games, he said. And it was good to hear that they sound very up for it, and they're nay lying down to them.
Aye, well, just listening to that montage at the start, there was... Again, every game is pretty much close. I can only really remember the friendly, would that have been 2016-17?
The Infernandy Robertson scored.
Aye, Hampden. Parkhead, wasn't it?
3-1, wasn't it?
Aye, but we also played them in Wembley in a friendly, and I think, do we know?
It was 3-0.
That was 3-2, but the qualifier, remember, was 3-0 in Wembley. And then we drew 2-2 at Hampden.
One of that games we got a bit of a doing, but I think I kind of see in a major tournament, England or I was nervy in major tournaments, and I think... And I kind of see it being 3-4-5, like it's negative goal like that. But look, I was a wee bit the comments I heard from McGinn, he was looking for a Coca-Cola. I was hoping there'd be some in the studio.
No, we're on the Ronaldo water here. Agua,
bucky, bottle of bucky on the table.
What a nonsense that is, eh? Apparently, 2.8 billion's been wiped off Coca-Cola's value, so they're only worth the 200 billion new or something.
They'll claw it back in about a day and a half.
Feel sorry for them.
All right, lads, we'll stop the chat there for a wee bit. This is our final first round heat to Podmaster. to this one. We'll see who's going up against Craig Ewan in the semi-final. Right, lads, I've got two contestants for us again. On line one, we've got Danny Simpson. How are we doing, Danny?
Aye, not too bad, yourself?
Nah, bad, all right to go.
Aye, we are.
And you're going to be up against Neil Watt on line two, better known as Nod. How are we doing?
All good, James. How's yourself?
Nah, bad. You can say hello to Danny.
All right, Danny.
All right, yourself?
Aye. You're on with John and Brookie as well, obviously. We've got some question sets for you. We'll toss a coin. Danny is on line one, so he can choose heads or tails.
We'll go heads.
Heads it is.
Heads it is. Okay, Nod, we'll put you into the isolation booth first, but you'll be able to hear how Danny gets on, okay? Okay. Right, Danny, we have got three sets of questions to choose for. You can choose from Tournament Tunes, Week in Boogie, or Euro 96?
We'll go Tournament Tunes.
Tournament Tunes. Okay. Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay. Question one. Who has more goals for Scotland? James McFadden or Mo Johnston?
James McFadden.
That's correct, by one. Question two. How many cities in total will host matches at this year's Euros?
We'll go 8.
It's 12. Okay, first clip here. You might not believe it yet, but pretty soon you'll see. Even long shots make it. Just don't come home to say. Okay, that was Scotland's 1998 song, Don't Come Home Too Soon, but by which band?
Not a clue.
It was Del Amitri. Question four. Which former Scottish internationalist is assistant manager at Belgium?
Sean Maloney.
Correct. Okay, the official song for these Euros, We Are the People, features Bono and The Edge from U2, and which other artist?
Martin Garrix.
Correct. Well done. Question six. We've got a clip for you. Okay, that was Ali's Tartan Army from 1978 World Cup. But who performed it?
Pass. Knew the year, just didn't know the artist.
It was Andy Cameron. Question seven. In which year did Scotland win the Kirin Cup?
No idea.
It was 2006. Okay, who is the only player to score in three separate World Cups for Scotland?
Go Doug Leach.
No, it was Joe Jordan. Okay, question nine, your last clip. I awoke in the night with a fever, and the sky was the darkest blue. And a still small voice was calling. Who provided the vocal monologue there for We Have a Dream?
Jesus. It was a song, all right, but nah, pass.
John Gordon Sinclair, he's an actor who was in Gregory's Girl. Okay, last question. What was rare about Scotland's exit from World Cup 1974?
Not before my time again.
It was rare because Scotland never actually lost a game, but still went out. And there we go. John, the scores on the doors there for Danny?
Yep, 9 points.
9 points is respectable. It's been a winning score before.
fingers crossed again.
Right, I'll put you on hold and we'll get Nod on and see how he does, okay?
No worries, cheers.
All right. You're there, Neil?
Hi, I'm here.
How would you have gotten on with that set of questions?
I got a few ins that he didn't get, but he was off the flyer.
Hi, panicking. Okay, we've got a couple of sets of questions. We have got Euro 96 or It's Coming Home?
It's Coming Home.
Okay, here we go. Are we ready?
Aye.
Okay, who has played the most games for Scotland at a major championships?
No idea.
It was Jim Leighton. Okay. Name the manager at this year's Euros who won it as a player.
Luis Enrique.
No, it was Didier Deschamps. Okay, question three is your bonus.
Up for him, and he's lifted it over the goalkeeper. It's a magnificent finish, and the Czech Republic have produced the goal.
Okay, Czech Republic number 8, who scored that chipped goal in the quarterfinal of Euro 96.
Zaborski.
Correct. Well done. Okay, question four. Who has more caps for Scotland, Ekichi Anya or Robert Snodgrass?
Snodgrass.
No, it's Anya. Okay, question five. Who made their Scotland debut at the age of 18 against Denmark in 2016 to become the youngest Scottish internationalist of the 21st century?
Age of 18... Tierney.
What, did you give an answer there? I never caught it.
Tierney
is right. Yep, Kieran Tierney, who we missed yesterday. Okay, question six is a bonus clip.
Well, he's only just to the England side, Southgate. Model, they call him, at Aston Villa. He does everything right. Well, let's hope he can do this right as well. Saved it!
Okay, who produced the moment of Euro 96 tournament saving Gareth Southgate's penalty in the semi-final shootout?
Oliver Kahn.
No, it was Andreas Kopke. He's in goals then. Okay, question seven. Portugal won Euro 2016, but how many games did they win in the group stage?
None.
None is correct, yeah, zero. Okay, North Macedonia and which other country are making their first appearance at this year's Euros? No, out of time. It is Finland. Okay, last bonus question.
Well, whatever you say, they do come fighting back time and time again. The Croats are furious with the referee about something there, but he registers his second goal of the tournament and a vital second one of the game. He makes his run from the back.
Okay, who was that scoring the winner against Croatia for Germany in the quarterfinal of Euro 96 and was later named player of the tournament?
Euro 96. Bierhoff? I think it is.
No, it was Matthias Sammer. Okay, last question. Which Rangers player won his one and only cap whilst playing in the fourth tier of Scottish football?
Lee Waller.
No, it was Ian Black. Good guess though with Wallace. Okay, John, what is Neil's score there?
Well, he also got three questions right, but he got a bonus, so 12 points.
12 points, you've sneaked it. Well done, Neil.
Yeah.
Well done. Let me bring Danny back on. Danny, he's just pipped you there.
Aye, well done.
Cheers for coming on though, Danny.
No worries at all. Cheers for him.
No bother, thank you.
Cheers.
See you later.
Okay, Nod, you happy to come back for the semi-final?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Didn't come through.
You'll need to get a revising against Craigie.
Aye, big Craigie in the last...
I've got nature.
In the last heat, he's the first person to get full 39 points. So his questions were remarkably easier than the other boys. But he got the full 39, so you'll need to be on top of your game, I think. But in the meantime, your beer and your pint glass will be making its way to you very soon, okay?
Magic. Cheers, James.
Look forward to the pod. Magic. We'll catch you later.
See you, boys.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Well, boys, not quite as good as last pod's score, but 12 enough to do it.
Aye, decent effort.
Good effort. Aye.
Right, boys, we'll move on. And we were hoping to get Colin Hendry on this. He is doing in London. And he is coming to meet us, I think, for a pint of morn. But he's massive radio and TV schedule. He can't fit piddly podcasts into it. But he is going to join us in one of these shows. So we'll get him on at some point. Hopefully maybe celebrating a win against England. So before we get Paul on, our England correspondent, boys, do you mark that there's been a bit in the paper about saying, oh, the winner of our group plays somebody, the group of death, and England might want to finish second? Do you read anything into that we might benefit for some points tomorrow because of that, or is that just
absolutely
pie in the sky?
If they want to give us some points, that'd be absolutely brilliant.
There's no way a team that's wanting to look to win a tournament needs to be looking to win every single game, because they're going to come up against a good team. And if they end up playing third place in that group, that team's obviously not in the best of form if they're not top.
It's our route to victory, like glory. I've looked at it, and if we finish first and second, chances are we're not going to go any further in the tournament. We're going to really struggle. But if you could get if we get through in third, there might be a wee slight chance here. We get a team that we've got a sort of bit of hope against. But
is it just the drink you've been on a day?
were you in the toilets with Derek Riordan, were you? Oh dear. Looking at the England squad, the depth they have, you know, it's hard not to be jealous looking at their bench, isn't it, and thinking, oof, even their B team's probably getting into yours. It's hard to predict how they're going to line up, though, isn't it? Their attacking options look brilliant. Far scares you the most in particular.
I really like Foden. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he'll go on to be one of the best players in the world, I think.
He's on course, I think.
I'm not actually sure he'll play the morn, though. I think Grealish might come in for him in morn.
He's scary, isn't he?
It's really annoying, but they've got a really good attack and sort of set up.
Look at the players they left out in the first game. Sancho, Grealish. Rashford.
Rashford, yeah.
Sancho wasn't even in the squad.
Yep. And then you've got the other sort of similar players sort of playing that three behind Kane. Can you've got like Foden, Sterling, Mount. You've got a lot. Just the attacking talent is unreal. And that's what I'm saying. We could be blown away by half time. I didn't see it, but Stevie Clark will be hopefully putting something in place to make sure that it's tight for that.
It's either going to be a draw or an absolute doing, isn't it?
I'll take the draw.
Take any day. A 0-0 shite.
But they can be got at, eh? Defensively, I think they could be got at.
Question mark.
Are they ropey at the back?
I wouldn't say they're as ropey as us at the back.
Well, that's a problem.
I guess potentially Tierney and Robertson on their day would probably get into that squad, I think. I don't think any other player would.
No, maybe not.
Can we put pressure on them back here? Jordan Pickford's knee, I was covering himself in glory. He can go a bit nuts at times.
He probably plays better for England than he does for Everton, actually. But.
And I think Walker's capable of a wee bit of a wobble as well.
Mm-hmm. But they've got the other 20 right backs to choose for.
Can Nina them Scottish?
I did notice in the first game was. First round of group games is that England, apart from us, were the only team that I saw consistently playing sort of longer ball football, if you want. They were really utilising
the ball a lot, didn't they?
Over a fullback's head, trying to sort of play the channels and stuff like that. And I think we'd welcome that. That would be that'd be fine if we want to get into a war of attrition.
Is that what we need to do? Do we need to go and get in their faces and make it a battle almost?
We definitely need to do that, but I'm not convinced we're wanting a bat in behind Stephen O'Donnell and Jack Hendry, like for Sterling to run on.
Sterling ups his game for England. He really seems to do it for England, doesn't he, when he's not been in great form for City.
Doesn't he like Pep?
But I do think that's got to be our aim. We've got to try and maybe pack a midfield, sort of play for the second balls, win the battles, free kicks, kind of thing, and just basically draw them down to our level.
Are we not doing ourselves a bit of an injustice there? Are we not better than that?
No.
But maybe as the game opens up, first I first up the way we're starting it, that's the way we play.
Sterling can lose the plot. Like, if somebody can leave a leggy on him,
yeah,
we need to wind a couple of them up. I think
John Stones could be a wee nip in his back or something.
Dykes like rattle him in the first five.
A wee elbow in a Cuban.
It's terrible if it we've come to, isn't it? Well, boys, why don't we get Paul on and he can give us his thoughts from an England perspective. He's the only England fan of McDuff, I think, with a McDuff accent. So let's get him on the line.
Doesn't sound very English.
All right, Paul, you there?
I am, James, yes. How are we doing?
Not bad. How are we doing?
I'm good, good. How's London town?
We just got here any longer. It's pissing rain. We've brought it with us. It's like fucking monsoon season down here, and we couldn't have found a studio. That's why we're phoning you
flyer.
Half eight instead of half seven. We've got a pub booked. Brookie's checking his watch. Like,
nice one. You'll get there soon enough.
I will get there.
Studio's like a sauna. Like, it's about 40 degrees.
Brilliant.
So, Paul, we've obviously got you on because you're about the only England fan we can. Certainly only we can with a Scottish accent. So,
happy to be on. Delighted to be on this Scottish show. Absolutely delighted.
Aye. So, we've just been speaking a wee bit about England and far we might fear and far might hurt us and far we think we can get at. But, from your perspective, Paul, what does Scotland offer as a threat to you?
Well, James, you can me as an Aston Villa fan. John McGinn's always a threat. Uh-huh. I've been a big fan of John McGinn for a long time, and you know, one of Aston Villa's greatest bits of business in terms of bringing him down for the money we paid for him. I think him and your other English-based players, Tierney, Robertson, and McTominay, these guys, I think would get. I mean, they would be looked at in for many of the teams in the competition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think Tierney was a big loss. It was obvious in your first game. A big loss, and I think, you know, Andy Robertson is a better player when Tierney's alongside him. Yep. And he offers just so much more going forward. So, yeah, those guys are, I think, the biggest threats. And actually, I don't like your boy Adams at all. Mm. I think he had a stint at Birmingham City, didn't he? So he's on the hate list. But a really talented wee player as well, and surprised that he didn't come on a wee bit sooner on Monday, to be honest.
We're all hoping he starts him on, like, for sure. Sure.
Are you worried at all about? Yeah. Sorry, Paul. Are you worried at all about Stephen O'Donnell?
do you know what? No, not at all. To be honest,
you're worried he might not be selected.
Well, I'd be worried if Patterson plays ahead of him. Like, you know, I'd quite like to see somebody like. Well, I'd quite like to see our own Jack Grealish having a go at O'Donnell. I think even Sterling on a bad day will rip him up. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
What do you think the chances are, Paul, a Grealish starting? Obviously, he missed out the first game. Do you think he's got a look in tomorrow?
I think he does. I mean, again, there's mixed views. When you hear pundits speak, Paul Merson was speaking today, saying he just doesn't fit in with Grealish, with Southgate's plans. I think that's a pile of nonsense. I mean, he's the games he's played for England, I think he's been man of the match three out of the four. So I think he's the kind of change that I think England can make tomorrow. You know, whether it's for Sterling, can you change Sterling after scoring? I still don't think he played particularly well. Mm. I think Grealish offers a wee bit more. Can you change Foden? He played okay. But yeah, I'd like to see Grealish start. I think the thing about Villa, and again, about England, I read today as well, you know, we kind of got the best 11, but we might have the best squad. Because actually, I think if you take somebody like Grealish in, it doesn't weaken the team. Similarly, you know, if you take someone like Ben Chilwell in, it doesn't weaken the team. You know, so the players they've got in the squad potentially, you know, could come in and they really change much. But I'd like to see Grealish have a go.
You think that's a bit of a hindrance, though, that Southgate doesn't actually cane his best team, and too much chopping and changing is not great for a side either? Like,
no, I think it's a really good point. And again, you know, if you speak about, and again, we're not there yet, but if you speak about latter stages, I think you've got to establish a pretty straightforward, solid start in 11 before you make it to the knockout stages. I wouldn't be wanting to go into knockout stages thinking we're still mixing it up a wee bit. You know, I think that's where probably some of the other favourites, your Italy's, your Belgium's, your France, you know, they will care if their starting 11 is, if everybody's fit.
That's sweet. Is there MD in England squad fans are worried about that can be got at, like, so maybe Itabak or Jordan Pickford?
I don't have a lot of issues with Jordan Pickford. I know many do. I think, you know, he's done all right. He certainly did all right in the last World Cup for England. Mm-hmm. My concern is rushing Harry Maguire back. I didn't rate Harry Maguire. I think he's the kind of player that, you know, will make a mistake. He's the kind of player that can be got at. I think he's the kind of player that the likes of Adams or Dykes could actually get it better. I think Dykes could bully him. And Adams obviously played against him before. He won't be fearing going up against Maguire. Nah. Again, a bit biased as a Villa fan because I'd played Tyrone Mings before him. But again, some folk have got a bit of worry about Mings as well. So, you know, again, if I'm Scotland, I might be looking at the centre-back. John Stones, you know, I mean, John Stones is always capable of making an error.
Dykes can get on the heat of him.
Yeah. I think that's it's going to be a big tactic for Scotland tomorrow. I think we'll play to get the ball forward as quickly as we can, and we'll set in about their centre-backs. Lyndon Dykes is... that's what he is. He's a battering ram. He plays to unsettled defenders and sort of try and bully them and get in about them. And if we've got Adams up there as well, I honestly think that'll be one of our main tactics tomorrow. So, yeah, here's hoping.
Well, we'll see. You'll have to get close to the centre backs first, though.
But you think there's anything in the... Obviously, the winners of our group, it's likely we'll play Germany, Portugal, or France in the next round. Have England got one eye on that, or is that just pie in the sky thinking? We're clutching at straws here, how we might get a couple of points.
I hope not. I mean, my view is you got to win every game. And if you go into knockout stages with three wins, then you're buzzing. Nah. It doesn't. I mean, you know, we're going to have to, you know, any team's going to have to play some of these big guys at some point. And I think it might, you know, on looking at a group, I think it might be Portugal that might finish in that second spot in that group. I don't think that's a big worry. I think, like I say, if you go in with three wins, I think your confidence is high. Players have obviously played well enough to get to the point where winning three games. So,
yeah.
But no, I'd like to think we're going at it, and we're not waiting to see. Although it worked for us in the World Cup.
Harry Kane was really poor in the first game, Paul, wasn't he?
Yeah, really was poor, and I think one of the criticisms was he kept coming too deep, and he was coming into places where there was no space.
And Mourinho's got in his head, I think.
Well, maybe you know, and I think with Kane, you'd be, you know, if you were playing, you know, if you were Sterling or Foden or something, you'd be saying, get up there, you know, let us do this bit of work here. And because if Kane's in the box, he's a threat. he's not a threat 25, 30 yards out.
No,
I hope he bangs one in the morning. 35 yards.
I'd be thinking if I was Calvert-Lewin, I'd be, after watching the boys shake against Scotland, I'd be fancying myself in the air.
I think Boy Schick played well. He looked like a decent enough player. But again, I suppose when we speak about kind of being bullied at the back, I think he just, I was surprised to see him kind of get such an easy header on target for his goal. Like, I think, you know, there's two big burly defenders aside him, and he maybe shouldn't have got in between them, to be honest. But yeah, Calvert-Lewin might be looking at that. But Kane, again, you know, Kane will know what he's up against tomorrow. And I just hope he plays a wee bit further forward. And
It's very rare that England win three games in a major tournament, in the group stage. So would you rather the drop points against Scotland or the Czechs?
You really are testing my allegiances. Listen, I was there on Monday. I was there on Monday with the in-laws and the friends and family. I was in a Scotland Chelsea. I was in a kilt as well, just to kind of beat him, join him. I would absolutely love it if they both go through to knockout stages. So do you know what? I don't want to drop points to Scotland because I'll get ribbed about it for the next 20 years probably. Do you know what? I would like to see. And I think Scotland, based on what Croatia played like against England, if Scotland are going into that game having to win, then I think that's a big chance.
That's a big thing for us, yeah.
There's a possibility we might need the point to be joining you. But there is a scenario for we can lose them on and still go through. But it will be dependent on other groups for sure.
I think it's important, isn't it, that the Croatia Czech Republic game's on at 5, isn't it? So again, is that going to be in their heads, you know, in the game as well? Because you'll have a better idea of what might be needed, you know, what possible scenario is going to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I share that point though. I think I want Scotland to go into the final game against Croatia having to win and knowing that's the only option. If we somehow manage to get some sort of result tomorrow, and then you get into the game thinking, well, a draw might do it.
It would be very Scotland to beat England and then still go.
It would. And that's what I'm worried about. I mean, you work on that.
I think that's script number one, isn't it? So,
Paul, obviously, English supporter living in Scotland, are you shielded the hype a bit around the England national team every time there's a tournament? Because obviously they'll beat Croatia 1-0 and they're getting to win it, Ken. Living in Scotland, does that annoy you? Because it certainly annoys the Scotland fans.
No, absolutely. It absolutely does. And I think, it's been kind of openly discussed that it's not about the players. You know, some of the more kind of harder edge banter is not about the players or the genuine fans.
Media, right?
It's about the media and the publicity and the hype around it. And, I think somebody said the other night, we're watching a game with two nations that are nothing to do with England or England's group. No. Yet we're speaking about Gaza's goal in 96, and I can understand why.
Gaza's goal is fucking unbelievable.
Not a bad finish though, James.
I was at the game. I've seen it once, and that was enough.
I suppose I'm shielded for you up here, but what I need to deal with up here is listening to the annoyance of that kind of hype. So I can't support my nation and enjoy it without listening to it. I mean, immediately after the game on Monday finished, and there I was in a Scotland jersey and kilt, rooting for them just like everybody else. And immediately the game finished, it was, we'll stuff England on Friday. Oh, that's that. England will struggle against the Czech Republic. And, it's like Harry Kane will struggle to score against it. It wasn't really about England on Monday. Shielded for that, but it does annoy me, I have to admit.
I think Southgate's a really poor manager. I don't think he's a great manager at all. But for an international team, he's probably okay. And he's good at handling the media. So I think he's quite good at handling the hype. Mm. And the squad that they've got, if they had a decent centre-half, I'd be worried that England would be winning.
What England need, though, is somebody to shield them for the media. Somebody like Southgate to take it away. Because that seems to be a big problem in previous tournaments for me, the way the media and that. So
I think they're fortunate as well.
Alexis Sven was a media who. Uh-huh.
I think they're fortunate that Kane's probably their best player, but he doesn't really...
He's not flashy.
No.
No, that's right. I think that's a worry, again, that some folk hold about the likes of Grealish and Foden as well. I mean, Grealish and Foden being compared to Gascoigne and that is, it's a wee bit premature on that one.
He scored that even with the haircut, though.
well, he has, probably. Right. But you can see the hype around them, and you can see, I mean, Grealish has had his demons in the past as well. So, you would worry that kind of publicity around that would be quite a negative thing. In terms of Southgate, that's probably the only thing I like about him is he speaks very well, and I think he defends the team, he defends the structure, he defends his setup. He's happy enough to make these decisions, and he ticks it on the chin if he gets them right, wrong, or indifferent. But I think he gets away with a lot as an international manager that he wouldn't as a club manager. I think he'd be found out if he ends up at a club, particularly if he ends up as a big club. I think he'll be found out.
Definitely. Before we let you go, Paul, we'll need your score prediction for you.
Well, I'm worried here you'll just edit this out. I think Scotland will score. I think there's a strong chance Scotland score, but I think we'll outscore you. I think we 3-1.
3-1. Okay. Brookie, score?
I'm going to go for 1-1.
Oof. John?
I think I'll go 2-2.
2-2. Repeat the last team, was it?
Yeah.
Heart says draw. But head saying,
pump
be 3 or 4-0 England.
I do think we'll score, but
we'll score.
I don't think we'll.
Because I spoke about it in the last pod, we've not had that hope yet. Scotland now was giving you a bit of hope.
We cling on hope for last game.
We'll need to get something tomorrow just to have that wee bit of hope. But
hope's a tremendous thing. I was having this conversation with Katie earlier on today, right? You guys go into every game with that hope. I don't quite understand that because I'm a victim of England and I go in with expectation. And expectation to kind of disappointment is miles apart, whereas hope and disappointment are not too far apart. So that takes me a wee bit of more time. And you boys were over the game. Well, the people I was with were over the game within about 25 minutes on Monday night. I'd have gone home after it.
I'd have
spotted dummy you and, you know.
It's time to turn this patronising Englishman off.
Bog off. Well, I think we'll end it in that point, Paul. But cheers for coming on. Appreciate that. And I'll give you a shout after the game in the morning, hopefully.
Thanks very much. Listen, enjoy your time, dude. Well, I hope not. Enjoy your time doing it anyway and enjoy the game.
Magic. Cheers, Paul.
Cheers, brilliant, Paul.
Thank you. Cheers. See you, lads.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
There we go, lads. He's certainly pretty confident Scotland's getting in for that game, eh?
I would be in it, I'd be fair. Yeah, like.
It'd be hard to be an England fan and probably not have a level of confidence.
Fair enough. Right, before we sign off, let's get our preferred 11. Fad's playing.
So is this tomorrow. For us or if it was
just
Clark's
for we would
ID,
play?
If I would play.
Goalies, get me Marshall.
I would stick with Marshall. I mean, he was playing centre mid for a while, but
we can get some good.
He could get Armstrong's position. Aye, the memes have been flying out. Like some of these have got funny. Like
I like the quote about Fa says Clark's defensive and he plays a goalie centre mid.
All right. Is O'Donnell get to play then? He wouldn't have played for me. Like I'd go. I'd go Forrest, I think, and go for it.
For me, I would pick Patterson because, like I said in the last pod, the Nafir, kind of Nafir of youth and the pace he's got, pace to burn, he's frightening, and he loves to get forward. And I think we maybe need to try and just be on the front foot down that side because England are going to be strong coming left. So I don't think it will be Patterson. I think it'll be O'Donnell, but for me, it would be Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably go Forrest as well, but I think it would have to be Forrest with a defensive mindset and they just like, no, you're a winger, Forrest, for knock yourself out.
Left wing back's easy, that's Robbo, obviously.
Yeah. Presume Tierney will be in.
Then stick with Hanley.
Yeah, Hanley and Hendry for the other two.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'd maybe hate Gallagher.
I think Henry's got a bit of a nuke in him, but I think we're going to need a bit of pace on that. We're going to need a bit of pace, I think.
Aye. Okay, midfield. It was a good see changes in there. I think McTominay and McGinn's pretty much a shoe.
Two of them will play.
I think one change. I think
Armstrong out.
I probably have up until now been calling for Armstrong, but I think McGregor's going to be the boy, and I think that's fair enough. I'm happy with that.
My heart would say Gilmore.
Aye,
go with Gilmore.
I kind of see he's bringing in two youngsters.
That's because O'Donnell will be playing.
Aye, well, that's fair enough, yeah.
I think it'll be McGregor, I would go for Gilmore. Why not? Nothing to lose. Throw him in.
Especially in this game, I think. This is a game to give him a shot, I think.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye. I'd go Adams and Fraser up top.
I think I would stick with Dykes and Adams.
It'll be, I think, Dykes and Adams.
I think Dykes could get in about John Stones.
Yeah, Dykes is, that's what he is. He's there to noise folk up, so I think he'll play him.
If Dykes rumbles him up for 60 minutes and then get Adams and
get somebody with pace on.
I think Adams has got to start, though, for sure.
I think he will.
Yeah. I think if we played with McTominay and, I suppose, either McGregor or Gilmore, it means that McGinn's going to be further forward, which hopefully means he'll get in the box a wee bit more.
Yeah, we need that. There was a big gap in that first game, especially in the first half, midfield and defensive. We didn't see John McGinn at his best in most of the game. He sort of was bogged down. Sort of
second half, he played well.
Yeah. Oh, he was fighting away and scrapping away, but we never seen him.
We never talked about England's central midfield, but I think that's another. If we mix it on a day, again, Rice and Phillips. They're playing again. McTominay, McGinn, not that far off him.
Nah, we've mix got, it with got a great central midfield. Nothing to be fear of there.
All right, boys. That'll do us, will it, for the day. Off to pub.
Pub it
Let's
is.
Do it. Yes.
We've been everywhere, man. We've been everywhere, man. Seen every foot and square, man. This is Glasgow Fair, man. Been for Ryanair, man. We've been everywhere. We've been to Glasgow, Butterbridge.
Thanks for all, as always, for tuning in to the Beyond Hampden Park podcast. We're off to the pub now. If you're down in London, come and join us. It'll be too late because we'll be released later. We will be back after the England game and hopefully we're not all crying. And we've got 3 points in the bag. But until then, enjoy the Fitbit. We'll see you later.